All right, welcome to Lyle's Trials, episode 10, recording at 10 o'clock at night, and I have my first guest that's endured a lot to get here, namely almost 15 years of marriage to me. It is my wife, Michaela. Michaela, say hello.
Hello, I'm here.
All right, she's here. So the goal here today was to kind of introduce that second part of dieting and all the kind of stuff that goes along with your dog jumping on the bed while you're trying to record. Adding in that second part. So, you know, talked about diet, changing the diet, doing all this other stuff. But I'm doing it for athletic purposes. I'm doing it so that I can, you know, run these races and avoid stomach issues and all this kind of stuff. But it's not the only reason you might do this. So my wife has seen me go through this change and decided she was going to do something as well. So I'll just start there. Why don't you talk a little bit about what led you down this path?
Well, in the past, I have had lots of different diet successes and diet not so successes. I don't really want to use the word failures, but just things that weren't as successful. And one thing that was really successful in the past was doing a low carb and calorie restricted diet. It was really easy to lose the weight, but then I wasn't able to sustain it because it was kind of unrealistic. So I knew that that path worked for me. And then when Travis was going to kind of recommit, because at the same time when we did that a long time ago, we also did some paleo eating after that. And so I was familiar with that style of eating, and I knew when Travis talked about wanting to kind of recommit to that, and more specifically keto, I thought, well, I've done it before, and I'm familiar with the cooking style, and I was familiar with the results that I could get from that for weight loss, so I thought I would jump on board with him. I had a little slower uptake than he had, just naturally, I think my commitment level is not what his is, but I definitely tiptoed in and then jumped in, and that's kind of where I am now.
Okay, so how long total have you been doing it?
I would say I slowly started in January, like cutting out, you know, like most grains with foods and like not having bread with meals, no sandwiches. But I was still kind of snacking in a carb manner. I wasn't completely cutting everything out. And then I would say in February was whenever I really started it. So it's May now. So what is that? February, March, April, May. So it's like 3 months. I did the 21-day keto reset following the book. What's it called?
I think it's called the Keto Reset. By Yeah?
Yeah, that's the one.
The 21-day keto reset. Called yeah. The Keto Reset. Mark yeah. Sisson, right? Or Sisson, excuse me.
Yes, that's the book. I listened to it on my car on the way to work in the mornings, and I would just implement things as they came up in the book. So as I was going through, I was learning information and then kind of in real time applying it at the exact time that I was hearing it every morning on the way to work. And it had some bumps. It was not super easy to make the changes. I had that kind of, you know, they talk about like, you know, keto flu. I wouldn't say I had that full on, but those feelings of cutting the sugar and carbs was hard for me because I'm definitely a sugar eater. That's my downfall. Like, and I don't even mean like, oh yeah, I like to like have a cookie now and then, but I'm like Skittles, Starburst. If I could this mainline sugar into my veins, I would do it. So that was really difficult in the beginning, and I felt that. But
well, with that, so what? That given too much away.
Yeah.
What? Now, right, 4 months in,
right.
What have been your results?
What have been my results?
Yeah, what are your results up to now?
I have lost, you know, 15 to 17 pounds and definitely have more energy and have been, don't have the energy crashes that I typically would have on a daily basis, which was keeping me coming back for more and more sugar all throughout my day. So those are definitely benefits. I feel like I would have liked to have lost more weight by now, 3 months in, but But I think that it's, but because I kind of tiptoed my way into it, that's kind of what is expected, I guess.
So from a, you mentioned candy and sugar are like your vice.
Yeah.
Which I know this. Yeah. But what, how do you deal with that? Not now, right? So, how do you manage not having those things? Well, like how long, actually, let's start here. How long did it take before you were like, kind of went over that hump? Because for me, I was doing it and I would just like eat tons of almond butter. I'd do the fat in my coffee, you know, whatever, right? Those were the things like I would just, that was my like go-to.
Yeah.
Because I would have those sugar crashes. And then when I was training, I had, you know, tried to avoid that stuff too. So I trained and I kept my heart rate lower. Those were like my strategies. What were you doing?
Well, because I had done this in the past and something similar, I knew that once I got over the hump of a couple weeks that I wasn't going to have the cravings anymore. So I had that past history to be able to feed off of and know that that was going to be coming, that I wouldn't want it anymore. But in those kind of 2 week time frame, I would say that I made conscious efforts to alter my routines because I was in a routine of like driving in my car and, you know, accessing sodas in the afternoon or when I'm coming home from work or drinking high sugar beverages in the morning or getting candy or snacks in a slow slump time at work in the afternoon. So I kind of altered my routines and habits so that number one, for high sugar drinks in the morning, I started making sure that I was mobile ordering beverages from Starbucks, and I made sure I made a drink that was low sugar and low carb, and then I didn't have a choice of what I was ordering, so I would just go and order the same thing every time I went through. So I wasn't ordering like a venti fully sweetened chai tea. Instead, I was getting a brewed chai tea with stevia instead and with heavy cream to up the fat levels, and then I convinced myself I really liked it. At first, I maybe didn't, but now I really do.
Right.
So I kind of made that new routine. And then during my...
I should have Starbucks support the show. 'Cause this is, I don't know how many mentions I've had of it, because I do the bacon egg bites.
Yeah, and I do too. That's a go-to breakfast.
Sometimes the protein bistro box, they're everywhere. I don't think my... I don't know, 75 listeners or whatever it is. I don't think I'm probably the target audience. But the point there is that I think for both of us, that was the other thing. I guess I brought bacon egg bites were a thing that I would get there. I've always kind of drank black coffee, but I moved away from putting sugar in it and moved to whole cream and stevia type stuff as well. So I guess it just some sort of the idea that you can still go to that place that you like. You just kind of have to have a modifier of what,
absolutely,
of what you're doing.
Yeah. And for me, if I'm faced with the choice, I'm a lot of times going to make the wrong choice. So I took that out of my hands. So that's why I would, you know, I do not advocate texting and driving, but I would literally mobile order from my car so that I didn't really have a choice because I couldn't be navigating the screen and finding what I really wanted. It was just saved and I just ordered it and I picked it up and that's what I had in the morning. Egg bites and a brewed chai tea with stevia and heavy cream. And then that afternoon
Have you had a regular chai tea recently?
One time they accidentally made me a regular one.
What'd it taste like?
Oh, it was... I'm going to say it was really delicious. I'm so sorry. But
no, I was just curious.
But I really had effects from it. I almost immediately got a headache from it after drinking it, from the amount of sugar that was in it. And also felt kind of that sugar slump that happens, you know, after that crash that happens after having it. So anyway.
So that's one strategy.
That's one strategy. Yeah. Then my afternoon strategy that was altering my routine was that I would, when I'd have a break in my afternoon break that I would have, I would typically walk around the hospital and I always made it down to the snack shop and would get something, some sort of snack, a cookie, not always sugar snack, but almost always would have a soda or a sweetened beverage along with whatever I was having. So to alter that, I brought Noon to work and tea also, and cold brew tea so I can make iced tea, brew it right at my desk. And then I made sure that I had snacks in my drawer that were appropriate. You know, almonds. I got flavored almonds at first because I wanted to have like a little bit of a baby step. And now, because I felt like I was having more of a treat. And now I don't necessarily have to have that. But so that was my afternoon strategy. I don't leave my desk. I mean, I walk around my department, but I don't go down towards the cafeteria area for that purpose. Because I don't want to get sucked into the idea of having a, you know, little mini cheesecake or whatever it was. So, and that was the hardest time of the day, I think, to make a change, because that's whenever I would really naturally have a lull in my day, like energy-wise.
Yep.
And because I was having sugar all the time, that was making it worse. So that was a hard hump for me to get over. And I kind of also made myself accountable to my coworkers. So I would talk about it a lot, which they probably just loved. But I would, you know, feel like I was bringing it up all the time. Like, I'd really like to go down and have a cookie right now, but I'm not going to. So that was kind of making it known that I was consciously making a decision not to do it.
I think a lot of people have that. It's not even a question. That like 3 o'clock, 11, well, 1, 2, 3 o'clock slump. Mm-hmm. Probably 3, right? Drink more coffee, you do whatever. And it's because you have eaten, you know, you've eaten in the morning, probably sugary stuff. And then you've eaten stuff at lunchtime, sugary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, well, I ate at 8 o'clock, and then I ate at 11, and now mm-hmm. here I am, and I need something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is that still there?
No, not as bad. And lots of days I don't even have an afternoon snack most days anymore. Some days I do, depending on how busy I am or how much exercise I've had. I might feel like I want to have one, but lots of days I don't even need that. I don't even feel hungry for it anymore, which is really nice. That's been definitely a positive side effect of all this, that I don't feel ruled by eating, which I definitely used to feel that way. It was like I couldn't get home fast enough to eat. I had to have an afternoon snack. I was starving at lunchtime. I don't have those. I am often starving for a break from work or a break from what I'm doing, but it doesn't always have to be eating, which is nice. I've found other ways to, well, just other opportunities to have a break as opposed to at mealtimes necessarily. Right.
And with having to, like, shuttle kids around mm-hmm. and out of the house, like, not having to worry about, oh my God, did I pack myself a granola bar? Did I pack myself a soda? Did I pack my, like, I feel like that. To me, I've said the same thing on here, that just this, I didn't recognize how much food was, like, dictating my behavior
mm-hmm.
until it wasn't dictating my behavior anymore.
Right.
Because I can go all day. I don't mm-hmm. like, I don't want to. Like, I still like eating. You know, I still like food. But I can go a long time and not have to eat.
I'm going to make a comment about that, about you, is that I feel like you could always go a long time without eating. Because that's not new. You would skip lunch all the time. You used to do that a lot before. But the difference was you would get hangry. So you would do that anyway. That probably hasn't changed a whole lot, but you used to have, I think, negative side effects from skipping your lunch that you don't have now.
Yeah.
Or skipping a meal, or getting busy and not getting to eat, or, you know.
You don't listen to podcasts, correct?
No, not really.
You don't subscribe to this podcast,
no,
correct?
No, I do not.
I think the second...
I've thought about it. I'm like, I should listen to that, and I haven't actually ever done it.
The second episode is actually called Why You So Hangry. So,
perfect.
It's been addressed, but it's good to hear it from, you know, my better half, because it does go to show, right, that for me, last one specifically was, I kind of did this 4-month check-in. I talked about all the things that I've kind of noticed. Mental clarity is up. My ability to like stay focused on a task is up. I feel like my mood swings are way, way, way less. That side was something that, kind of like the food ruling, I didn't necessarily expect. Like, I was doing this because I don't want to puke at races anymore. And however, if I can push that off farther or altogether, that's my end goal. I'm doing this for athletic performance. Mm-hmm. Then there's been these other kind of benefits that have come along with it that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
All right. So for the let's talk about some down moments. Like, what have been, you know, some like, you said the chai tea thing a little bit. Has there been other moments where like you've done something and then afterwards you're like, that was not what I was thinking. Like,
absolutely.
That didn't work how I hoped.
You mean like having moments of like,
yeah, I hate to call it
car binges here and there that make you feel regretful. I don't want to
call it cheats or whatever, but it's just you fall off plan or whatever.
Yeah. I have had those moments. Mostly, I wouldn't even say that I fell off plan. It was more like conscious choices of like, oh, this is a situation where I want to eat this and I'm going to because I want to have donuts today, or I want to, you know, I can't even think of what the specific examples are, but I definitely have had those moments. And in the moment, I'm like, yes, this is awesome. And then almost immediately after, I feel sick and have a headache and get that like immediate sugar crash. So as I have those moments, I've probably had, I don't know, over the past 4 months, maybe 4 or 5 that I've chosen to like, I'm just going to eat that cookie right now at work when they're sitting on the, you know, in the coffee room because we got some award for our department or whatever happened. And it's, every time I do it, I think, God, I'm never doing that again. That was so horrible. I mean, not because I felt regretful mentally or guilty. It was because I physically was like, ugh, that did not feel good, which typically is not something that I've ever felt. Usually it was the other way around. I have felt guilty about something but never physically felt bad because of the way I was eating. I think because I wasn't recognizing, you know, the differences. But definitely I've had those moments, and then they're getting fewer and further between. And I've I'll just kind of review. So the 21-day keto reset. So 21 days, I was not really tracking my carbs, but I was doing that idea where I'm like staying around 150 carbs. I was just kind of mentally tracking it a little bit, you know, cutting out grains, sugar, you know, breads, like refined kinds of foods. And then after that 21 days, then I tried to go really strict keto down to the 50 grams. And I did that pretty well for several weeks. I didn't really track how many weeks. So I think you're supposed to do it for like 6 to really fully be like fat adapted. And I'm not sure. And then I kind of lightened up again back up to the 150 carbs. And that's when my weight loss started slowing down back again. So I lost like the 15 pounds kind of in that initial time in those few weeks of strict keto dieting. And then it kind of, then I kind of plateaued. I've kind of stayed plateaued there for the past month or so. So just this past week, because we're going to be going on a trip soon, I decided to like buckle back down and try to do the 6 weeks of the really strict keto eating. So I had that month of kind of lightening up a little bit and allowing myself to have a little bit more carbs. I'd have some corn chips now and then, or just in small amounts, but just enough to elevate my carbs up to like 150 a day. That was kind of a frustrating thing for me, that then all of a sudden my weight loss completely just stopped. I wasn't gaining weight or anything. I was just maintaining. But so that was kind of a little bit of a bummer around it. I wish I could have kept losing during that, because I was still eating way less calories than I typically would eat. So you'd think theoretically my body would be losing weight, but it was not.
Right.
I was eating way less carbs than I normally would, way less calories. And not even less calories. I wasn't purposefully doing that. It's just what was happening. So maybe, I'm not sure if the balances were off, but that's been a hard point to figure out. And, you know, hormonally too, that's kind of a downtime. You know, every month it's like I get more cravings. I try to keep what I do indulge during those times to like dark chocolate with maybe some almond butter or a little bit of peanut butter, as opposed to, you know, typically
what I would have had. Sleeve of Starburst?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A sleeve of Starburst and a Coke.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, part of that diet, though, at least in that 21-day reset, talked about, like, go into it the best you can, stay on it, eat the good foods.
Yeah.
And when you're ready to, like, really dive in and get aggressive, then do it, and you may lose weight right away, and you might not. And some of it may be because there's other things.
Yeah.
Hormonally, you're not right. You've got, you know, other inflammation and things in your system that are...
And history of ruining your metabolism and things through other diets, which I probably have done.
Yeah. And a lot of people probably have from yo-yo dieting. And also, I mean, just given the amount of sugar that I would jam in my face on a weekly basis by training. You know, I'd go out and sugary this, sugary that, and that was something I also have, like, really liked cutting out, because I'm not getting just this, like, okay, I'm going to go for a 9-mile run, I'm going to have a 200-calorie sugar bomb, and then I'm going to go run Saturday for 5 hours, so I'm going to do 1,000-plus calories of, you know, of sugar and those sort of things. I mean, I just have to imagine that even with the fitness side of that, that's not a you're still doing the same thing. You're still elevating, you know, insulin and all such stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's not what this is necessarily about. What was the thing I was going to ask? I don't remember. Anyway, so we have children together, and they eat with us. Talk a little bit about I know what I was going to say. Food things. You know, we go out, or used to go out quite a bit. For dinners. Maybe talk a little bit about what you do when you go out to dinner,
mm-hmm.
and how you look at that, and then let's just start there.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Or substitutions for going out to dinner.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, we definitely go out less. I would say before we were probably eating out 4 nights a week. And I'd say now we maybe eat out once a week. If that. Some weeks we don't even eat out, but I would say once a week. So that's a big difference. And I, again, because I've done similar things before, I didn't have to totally change my cooking style necessarily. Cause even as not necessarily even thinking keto, a lot of times our meals were like kind of paleo-ish, things that we would cook at home. My problem rarely has ever been the food I eat in my meals at home. That's not really my problem.
Right.
It's the food I would eat in between meals or whenever we would go out to dinner.
Right.
So, now when I go out to dinner, I almost always just try to eat meat and vegetables. That's just, I mean, there's not much to it other than that. And almost every restaurant you can go to has meat and vegetables. So that's not, it doesn't matter where you go. I can't imagine a place that wouldn't have that. And if it's sandwiches, then I just don't eat the bun. And it tastes just as good. So that's pretty simple. I don't really have any tricks for that. But
that is the trick.
Well, true.
That's the trick. You know, avoid that part that you're trying to avoid. So it doesn't... You still go out to dinner. You can still go do these things. You know, I do it with work all the time. Like, hey, we ordered a big thing of bread for the table.
Yeah.
I don't want any. Thank you. Yeah. Someone can have 2 pieces. It's just a matter of, like, not doing it.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think, too, restaurants, maybe it's just living in Portland. I don't know if it's just that restaurants all over the whole world are getting this way, all over the whole country. But really, almost anywhere you go, they are going to have lots of options for different dietary restrictions. So, you know, people who are gluten-free or people who, you know, are eating all different kinds of... You can substitute things super easily, and they have lots of options on the menu for people who are eating this way. I feel like that's kind of a known thing.
Yeah. We're definitely spoiled here.
Yeah.
For those things, which is great.
I went somewhere the other day, and for a coworker who was leaving, we went to this, like, you know, brew house, and they had pub food. Fried pickles, hush puppies, and you could also order just a cup of bacon, which that typically, I mean, that's not the most healthy, even if you're keto eating.
Right.
But it's an option, and I definitely ate the cup of bacon. It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was like sticks, looked like french fries coming out of the top of a beer mug. It was lovely.
I actually had dark chocolate
dipped
bacon at a restaurant in Seattle.
That would take it to a new level. It was not dark chocolate.
It was a glorious level. Okay, so the kids, I brought that up. We have 2 kids. How, and you're the primary person that shops.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little, but not nearly as much as you do. How has your, like, shopping/meal planning changed mm-hmm. with this?
Well, I don't cook different meals. We just eat, everyone eats the same meal at our house. So if, and I, but I try to find things, recipes, and we have several different keto style cookbooks that I've used that Travis so graciously ordered for me as a
way too nice. I just got them off Amazon.
Well, the fact that you would think about it, you know, that you would give me some tools to be able to do this job of feeding everybody in the house.
Thanks for making me dinner.
It's been helpful. So I don't, one of them's called butter and bacon. I don't remember what the other ones are even called.
Against All Grains. And I, let me just got that Instapot book.
Yeah, I haven't even used that one yet, but I've looked at it. But so anyway, everyone eats the same way. I typically make a meat, two vegetables, and then sometimes, not always, but sometimes I'll make a grain for the kids as an addition to the meal, but I don't always. Like if we're having like hamburgers, I'll get a pack of buns in case my dad, who lives with us too, wants to eat a bun, or the girls want to. A lot of times they don't want to though. Or sometimes we'll make rice or quinoa to go along with the meal in case they want to eat it. But like I said, it's not always the option. It's not always there and they don't always choose it anyway. And I also just look online a lot for recipes. I'm like, it's really, there's lots and lots of stuff out there.
Yeah.
For you. It's super easy. I'm like, oh, I want to make something with chicken. So I'll just look up, you know, chicken Instapot keto meals. And it's like 100 of them come up.
Right. Yeah, it is easier. What, this will be last question here.
Okay.
So what do you miss? What do you miss the most on this diet or eating this way?
I am like a celebratory eater, so sometimes I've missed that idea, but I haven't really missed out on it because I've kind of just done it anyway on the different celebrations that have come up.
Yeah.
Mother's Day, we had like 2 donuts apiece. Mm-hmm. Mini donuts, I should say, not large donuts.
Right.
As opposed to 5 donuts apiece for Mother's Day. So I consciously made a decision that we wanted to eat that food that day, and we did it, and that time actually didn't have too many negative ramifications to it. And we're like, Cora's birthday, we both ate cake and we knew we were going to. But just, I think it's more the everyday changes. In my head, I feel like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to eat ice cream again. I'm never going to be able to, you know, but that's not really true, because really what makes the difference is what I'm doing every day. And if I can do what I need to do every day, then, you know, once a month when you have some sort of occasion or you have something, I can eat ice cream, or I can have, you know, whatever it is, if I choose to. I don't have to do it, but if I choose to, I can, if it's worth it to me. So that is what I feel like I'm going to miss out on it, but I haven't actually missed out on it.
Well, it is
does
tough.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because it's also tough because everything revolves, like, around food.
Oh, yeah.
Again, if you subscribed, you may have heard this.
I'm so sorry, I don't
but,
listen.
No, it's like, you know, you start on whatever it is, and it's the beginning of the year, and it's like, okay, it's January 1st, I'm so psyched about this, and then now it's our daughter's birthday, and then it's Valentine's Day, and now it's Easter, and now it's mm-hmm. this, and it's like all these things are around food, and it's around candy, and it's around all this other kind of thing. So it's like finding sort of meal replacement, or, you know, finding those dishes or those things that you can eat that you enjoy that, no, do they taste as good as Ben and Jerry's ice cream? They don't. I totally miss Ben and Jerry's ice cream. But I don't miss how I feel after eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I don't miss being bloated. I don't miss, like, grumbly belly the next day because of, like, all this sugar and weird stuff. So,
ooh, I just thought of something I miss. Sweet tea. That is something I miss. But I am happy with unsweetened tea or stevia sweetened tea.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, but I don't really need it, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, and I think as you, for me, as I've moved through this, those things that I used to like, I find myself avoiding, not even avoiding, but like, you know, early on, like the cravings were there. We'd go to the grocery store, it was like, oh man, I want that. Now I'm at the point where it's like, I don't even think about it. I just sort of walk by it and I'm like, here's these almonds, here's this whatever, here's this big salad, here's this other, you know, stuff that I don't know. I just, it has less of an impact. I have less of like this desire. I don't have these like swings. So I'm not as, I don't know, it's not, my cravings are not as heavy because I'm not fighting that sugar wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is true. Once you get over the hump of the first couple weeks, your body is like, oh, I don't need that. It's really interesting how it was had such a hold on me for so long, and then now it doesn't. And it's such a weird phenomenon that I could feel like my mind would switch over that easily. I mean, well, I shouldn't say easily. It wasn't easy, but it was easy compared to what before I started it, the task or the thought of like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to not sit here and want to eat a bunch of Skittles in the afternoon. Like, that's never going to change. Well, the other day, I did a science experiment with one of my kids at work with Skittles, and we didn't use them all, and they were rolled up in my desk, and they're still sitting in my desk rolled up, and they've been there for, you know, 3 weeks, and I haven't eaten them, and I've not even thought about eating them or even cared about eating them. And normally, those wouldn't even made it back to my office. I probably would have eaten them in the hallway before I even got back there. So that's not something that I would have necessarily thought was would have happened, you know.
I do know. And with that, maybe longest episode to date.
Whoa, I'm sorry, I'm a talker.
That's what happens. But I had a guest, so for to let you go.
Thanks for inviting me here onto this podcast.
Yep. We're gonna have to set the alarm and get up in a few hours and get our kids ready for school.
Make some eggs in the morning.
Yep. Lots of eggs. All right, so that's episode 10 with special guest Michaela Lyles, my wife and person that puts up with me. Oh, you don't listen to podcasts. Are you a runner?
No, I'm not. I hate running.
Okay, people always ask me that.
No, it's the worst.
I should have brought that up first, but that's the thing that people ask me first. Like, oh, is your wife a runner too? So,
I've tried to be a runner, and I just want to punch people in the face when I'm running. And I don't ever want to punch people in the face.
So, friendly lady resorting to violence. but I only bring that up just to sort of call out that we are doing this for different reasons. We started it at different times, but it's a lot easier doing it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're both seeing benefits, but different types of benefits. Yeah. So, okay. So that's it. That wraps up episode 10. As always, I don't think I have any show notes for this one. Nothing I didn't already have posted. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Travis Lyles. You can ask questions there, or at the website where this will be posted, lylestrials.com. That's it. Thank you, Michaela, for, being on the show.
Good night.
Good night.
No, you said it was 10 o'clock at night.
That's true. They could be listening to this in their car. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye. Have a good day.